The Believer's Walk of Faith is paid for by Bill Winston Ministries partners and viewers.
And over in Psalm chapter 91, look what it says here. There shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. But this disease shall not come nigh you. Only with your eyes shall you behold, see the reward of the wicked. Why? Because you've made the Lord, which is your refuge, even the Most High, come on, your habitation. There shall no evil befall you, neither shall any come nigh your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, and they're gonna what?
Up next on the Believer's Walk of Faith.
What is your job? Believe, and that is it. That is it. They didn't get into that promised land in Hebrews 4 because they didn't believe. And all you got to do is believe. You're sitting up here looking real intelligent, but do you believe? Do you believe God can heal you? Do you believe when the doctor said that you can't have a child, you will have a child? Do you believe that you can get married by this time next year? Do you believe? Let me first define the anointing. The anointing, which is mainly what we're talking about, is the empowerment to perform at a supernatural level to attain extraordinary results. Now, God had his blessing or anointing on Abraham. Now, he is telling Abraham that anything that comes against you is going to have to pay the price. And I'm saying to you that this same thing goes for me, that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against me in judgment shall be condemned. Now, look what happened to Abraham. Let's go on down in chapter 12 now, and let's go on down and see as Abraham started his journey, because in verse 4, it says, and Abraham departed. All right, so as we go on down here, Genesis chapter 12 and verse 14, and look what he says here. He says, and it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman that she was very fair. And the princes also, the leaders of Pharaoh, saw her and then commended her before Pharaoh. Pharaoh, there's a good-looking woman out there somewhere. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with a great plague because of Sarai, Abram's wife. Now, here is Pharaoh. He is not, this deed that he's doing here is not something that God sanctions. And so now, because of Abraham's faith in following God, based on God's covenant promise to him, now God is going to protect Abraham. And not only Abraham, but his family and his seed. Lord have mercy. So now here is Pharaoh. All of a sudden, Pharaoh is being plagued. Now Pharaoh woke up. He said, what is this you have done to me? And had it so that Abraham, he put Abraham out, told him, take all the stuff you want and let's get on out of the country. And look what Abraham had when he came out. This is found in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 1. And he said, and Abram went out of the Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him unto the south. And Abram was very rich. Very rich. Say me too. In cattle, in silver, and in gold. Now, because he had to put it down there because some people think, well, he's spiritually rich. No, no. He had moolah. He had things. He had stuff. Okay? Now, this is interesting because I'm just going to give you a revelation that I get. Okay? I'm going to teach you from that. It's kind of interesting here that he said in verse 17, and the Lord plagued Pharaoh's house because of Sarai, his wife. And Pharaoh called Abraham and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was your wife? Why saidst thou she is my sister? So I might have taken her to me to wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife. Take her and get out of here. No, don't. And go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him. Now, how does he know that was because of Abraham's wife? Now, I'm just kind of putting myself in that situation that maybe his sorceress told him. Said, this is not. Now, can I take you to a depth that I'm at? He knew that this was not coming from the snakes that he worshiped. He knew this. This wasn't some evil somebody plaguing him. Because they couldn't. Or they wouldn't. And if you know anything about the Pharaohs, they had a snake on the thing and symbolizing, their back in the garden, really. But my point to you is even back there, he was spiritually sensitive enough to know that this shouldn't happen to him. Y'all with me? Now, I'm saying this because you got born again, you're going to be, well, let's go to scripture first. Let's go to John chapter 14, verse 14. And look what he says here. He says, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Who's talking here?
Jesus.
All right, next verse. If you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another who? Comforter. That he may abide with you how long? Forever. Who is the Comforter? The Holy Spirit. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be what? In you. And I will not leave you comfortless, and I'll come to you. Now, who was leading the disciples and taking them and teaching them? Who was that?
Jesus.
Now he's saying, you're going to get another teacher. And church, I'm going to the Father and send you back another teacher. It's going to be the Holy Ghost. And he's going to teach you some things. So you're in here and you're being taught by the anointing of God. Because the anointing of God, it's what God gives you to do God's work. That he doesn't want you to preach without that anointing. He doesn't want you to do anything as a believer without the anointing of God. Because it's going to give you extraordinary results. Now he goes to John chapter 17. And in John chapter 17, starting at verse 14, he says, I've given them thy word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Say, I'm not of the world. Say, I'm in the world, not of the world. He said, even as I'm not of the world, watch this, I pray not that you should take them out of the world. So he's not praying that you leave here, but that thou should keep them from the evil. I call it diplomatic immunity. I'm saying that Satan cannot touch you with evil. Didn't I say that? You know, I used to pray a wrong prayer. I said, every virus and disease and germ that touches my body dies instantly. Well, that ain't the scriptures. The scripture says, no evil shall befall you, neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. It didn't say it's going to touch you. See, I'm praying the wrong prayer. No wonder I'm coming down with some sniffles. See, I'm praying the wrong prayer, see? And I'm just saying, just a little slip of the tongue, you can open up the door for Satan to do things that Satan had not had authority to do. All right, now I'm saying to you that Pharaoh had a spiritual sensitivity, or his sorcerers, that they sensed that this was a work of the God of Abraham. This is a work of the God of Abraham. Now, God is sending you places. He is on purpose planting the righteous among the wicked. And some of them are not going to like you. And they're not disliking you because you're black. They dislike you because you saved. Now, I'm trying to help somebody now because you on this trip. Listen, once you get saved, you're in a whole nother category. And I'm just here to tell you right now that there are people going to hate you and don't know why they hate you. And the reason why they hate you and don't know why is because you're full of God. And when you're full of God, the devil hates you, and he wants to find a way to get you out of the way. Now, I'm saying your spiritual sensitivity should take you above something that you think is racial or you think is this or that. True enough, they got that out there. But that your biggest area is going to be because the devil doesn't like you. Now, the problem that he has is he can't stop you. Because everything you do is going to prosper, and God's going to always cause you to triumph. So you don't win a few, lose a few, you win everything. And if you win everything, you've got anointing of promotion on you, that your promotion doesn't come from the east or from the west or from, it comes from God. And as God raises you up, the enemy's going to be mad about it. Do you hear what I'm saying? So you are on your way to the top. Now, when you go into those areas, you have to be aware that every system, institution, culture, environment, legislation, codes, conduct, regulations, and policies must adjust themselves to accommodate your divine purpose. I said must adjust themselves. This is not a iffy. This is Bible. This is something because greater is he that is in you, come on, than he that is in the world. Every believer must know the level of power redemption has conferred upon him or her. You must know it. It doesn't make any difference. Look at Esther. Here is Esther, and now she is supposed to go before the government before the king. The king really represents the government. And tell the king not to have that law go through that's going to slay or kill all the Jews at a certain time the next year. Well, she didn't want to go. Well, Mordecai said something to Esther. He said, Esther, girl, I had to put that in there. I didn't like that. He said, now, I know you don't want to go. I want to get to find it and read it. It's found in Esther chapter 4 and verse 14. For if thou altogether hold your peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from some other place. But you and your father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou hast come into the kingdom for such a time as this? Now, that's not just talking about Esther. That's talking about you. Because there are ungodly laws being made. And one of the reasons why they're being made is because the church lost its voice. The church lost a knowledge of who it was and what it had to fight with. And I'm telling you, I'm bringing it back. I'm letting you know that you got the vengeance of the Lord. And the vengeance of the Lord won't only stop spells from coming at you, but it'll stop governments from trying to torment you. Everything that's tormenting, harassing you is going to be put down. It doesn't make any difference what it is or how big it is. Say amen to that. Now, the reason I focus in on and realize what he said now, he said, wait a minute, if you don't go, God's going to pick somebody else. Now, what does that mean? That means that before you came into this earth, God had an assignment for you. I said, before you hit your mother's womb, I shouldn't say it like that. Before you came into your mother's womb, God had already had an assignment for you. He had a purpose for your being here. Come on. He had an assignment that he wanted you to fulfill. Are you with me here? He knew everything that he wanted to do. He had wisdom laid up for you and everything. But if you don't go, he will find somebody else. I told God, don't find nobody else. I'm your man. Don't go to anybody else. All right. Now, let's go back to this spiritual sensitivity again. Because there's something wrong here in the camp. There's something wrong here. See, because we haven't been spiritually sensitive. And because we haven't been spiritually sensitive, the devil's been walking off with stuff. Come on. Come on. Some of y'all should have been married by now. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Let me do something else. I'm only saying that some should have had businesses, some should have had this, some should have had that, some should have had this and that and this and that. But the devil used sorcery. He used spiritual spells. He used all the things, the weapons, because they're still looking for something natural. They think it's something natural holding them back. There's nothing natural holding you back. Nothing natural is that powerful. But when Satan comes in, he comes in with spiritual wickedness, and he comes in to stop you from fulfilling the assignment that God has for your life. Say amen to that. And that sickness just didn't happen. That sickness came as a result of a demonic spell that was cast. Come on now, help me. Now, I'm saying to you, I know we did some things wrong. I know we did this and so forth, but you saved now. And I'm telling you, most of the things that are happening against the church are not happening because it just happened to happen. It was just a coincidence. Or I didn't. No, no. The enemy was behind it. Here I was. We were in Sister Beverly's house. We came to Chicago with $200. And do you know, we stayed with her after about 7 months. I said, wait a minute, we got to get out of here. Now, what are we trying to do? We have been saving money. Every time, the money would be eaten up. Something would happen to the car. The kids would need the money. But we couldn't save it. We're trying in the natural. So notice that we're going over to the other side in the ship, and here comes a storm. Where? Out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. It's the same storm that tore down Job's house and killed his kids. It's the same devil. But because the church has lost its spiritual sensitivity, it thinks, well, we just got a weather problem. You don't have no weather problem. You got a demon problem, and you're going to fix it. Folks, so what happened? We tried to save it and save it. Pretty soon I got fed up. I said, wait a minute, something's wrong with this. See, this Pharaoh, see, he immediately detected. He said, whoa, 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 whoa. This is not from the demon God I serve. This came from another God. And he said, wait a minute, Abraham, why did you trick me? See, he found out, see, because he was in, I'm just saying, we need our discerning back. Come on, we need to know, wait a minute, that wasn't the cause of that. The cause of that was right here. And even in profession today, because people have gotten away from God, they think it just happened, or this is, or it runs in your family. You in a new family. It don't run in your family. Every gene in your family is doing exactly what it's been programmed to do by Almighty God. Folks, you should be rich by now. Ah! Can I share a scripture with you that God gave me? Can I share it with you? All right, when I read this to you, don't choke. When I read this to you, it's because God gave it to me. Here's what it says. You will never have any need that God cannot meet in a day. Now, you think about it, whether it's a healing need, come on, whether it's a money need, come on now, tuition for the kids, come on. You will never have a need that God cannot meet, come on, in a day. Say, I'll take mine now. See, we have been programmed. We got to now get the mind of who? Christ. And the mind of Christ is expressed in Luke chapter 18 and verse 8. And look at what he said, that God, how God will deliver you. I tell you that he will avenge them when? Speedily. Speedily, the same day. The same day. The same day. The woman said, my kid's about to be taken. The man of God said, what do you got in your house? She said, I don't have anything but a little oil. He said, that's good. Go borrow vessels. Don't borrow a few. Come on in. Shut the door. Start pouring the oil. She poured the oil, got done with the oil. She said, now what do I do now? He said, go sell the oil and pay your debt and leave you and your kids on the rest. Now notice what was doing all the talking. It wasn't the man. It was the anointing on the man. See, the anointing was telling him how to fix your problem in a day. And before you had that anointing, you couldn't fix a problem in a day. But the anointing will fix your problem in a day. I'm going to give you one more thing. Every word you believe releases virtue for performance. Mary, you're going to have a baby. And this is Luke chapter 1. And verse 35, and Mary said to the angel, when the angel said that, and he said, the Holy Ghost is going to come on you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore, also the holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called the Son of who? God. Mary, you're not going to have just a baby. You're going to have the Son of God. He said, behold, the cousin of Elizabeth, she has also conceived in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her. For with God, nothing shall be what? Impossible. Next verse. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Now, if you would, go all the way down to verse 45. And this is what Elizabeth said. Blessed is she that believeth. For, come on, there shall be a performance of those things, come on, which were told her from the Lord. So I said, you can be out of debt. by. Now, you got to understand, when your prophet says this, you got to believe that. And when you believe that, it will be a performance. Look what he says in Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should what? Repent. Has he said, and shall he not what? Do it. Has he spoken, and shall he not what? Make it good. Who's going to make it good? What is your job? Believe. And that is it. That is it. They didn't get into that promised land in Hebrews 4 because they didn't believe. And all you got to do is believe. You're sitting up here looking real intelligent, but do you believe? Do you believe God can heal you? Do you believe when the doctor said that you can't have a child, you will have a child? Do you believe that you can get married by this time next year? Do you believe? And I'm telling you, that's all it is. And if you believe, you'll see a performance. Oh, yeah, it's good to have the truth. I heard somewhere that the truth will make you free. All right, next scripture, let's go to John's Gospel, John chapter 14. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Who's speaking here? Say it louder.
Jesus.
All right. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, he says over in 1 John that his commandments are not grievous. He won't ask you to, he's not asking you to run the 26.2 marathon. He's just asking you to love the one that's sitting next to you. All right. And I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter. That's where we are now. That he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be what? In you. All right, so the Comforter has come. Say, the Comforter has come. Okay, he's dwelling with you and shall be in you. Let's go over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversaries. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with him? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith where? On the earth. We're in this area called Comforting Zion. Let's get the first principle first settled. And that's coming from Romans chapter 10 and verse 11 first. He says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Let's try the CEV translation. The scripture says, no one who has faith will be disappointed. Number 11, as the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Now that's powerful. Because what it's trying to do is encourage you that you can act on God's word and it'll work. Now, let's go down to Romans chapter chapter 10, verse 14, and he talks about now the prophet, the prophetic word that comes forth. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a who? Preacher. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if I preach something and you believe it, you'll not be ashamed. Now, I recall I spoke a word, and I said, why don't you get a debt, and we're going to get that debt canceled by Christmas. Now, you don't have to wait till Christmas. You can get it canceled tomorrow. Or within 24 hours. I'm talking about a 24-hour anointing now. Yeah, because it's God that's going to do the debt cancellation. Now, how do we find that out? We found out that he'll perform what he said. And what he said may come from a prophetic word, or he may give you a word of prophecy from the word of God. 2 Peter in chapter 1. And he talks about in verse 18, and this voice which came from heaven, which we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. And just hold on. So what happens? Let's go back and put it together. So here's God. And God is speaking. And God said, before I get there, let's take what happened in the wilderness. In Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13 is where the 12 spies came back and gave their report. Two of them said this. It's still the people. Caleb still the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Talking about the giants. And it said, but the men that went up with them said, we be not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we. Now notice what he's doing. He's actually saying, this won't work for us. Even though it may be the will of God, it won't work for us because we have seen these people. And they are mighty and strong and too strong for us. Now, if I go down here in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 6, he said, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of what? Unbelief. Unbelief. Now, here's what we said about believing. We said this last time. That once you believe, it provokes God's virtue to perform it. Once you believe. Now let's start back looking at Mary again. Mary, Luke chapter 1. And he says here in verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now the angel just told her she's going to have the Son of God. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come on you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. And therefore also the holy thing that shall be born of you shall be what? Be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, we're going to tell you why he says that. Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So the angel's gone. Now she goes down to Elizabeth's house. Verse 45, here's Elizabeth. And blessed is she that believed. That's Mary she's talking about. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. See? Blessed is she that believed. Because if you believe, there's going to be a performance from the Lord. See, all you got to do is believe that I said you can have one debt canceled, at least one. Didn't say what size it has to be. It could be mortgage or it could be some little credit card. It doesn't make any difference. I said by Christmas. Now, in 2 Chronicles 20 and 20, and they arose up in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat, the King Jehoshaphat, stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, and what will happen to you? You'll prosper. Now notice, the prophets or preachers, 12 came back. Two of them told them the truth. Let us go up at once and possess and we are well able. The other 10 didn't tell the truth. They said, hey, we can't go up against these people. Now understand, they weren't going to do the fighting. They were going to do the believing. God was going to do the fighting. So look what happened to them in Numbers chapter 14. Look what happened to these that went against what God said. He said, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land, what? Died by a plague before the Lord. Because they were used to hold 3 million people in the wilderness. See, they preached something that was logical. Folks, most of what you read that Jesus did is not logical. Human logic. Your mind doesn't even go in that kind of thought pattern. Tell me your mind thinks of where you need some joy juice, that you got some water in these vessels, and if you just dip this water out and take it to the governor of the feast, by the time he gets it, it'll be turned to wine. Here's a man 4 days dead and stinking, body decomposing, and you just call him up out of there. Now, these things are not meant for the natural mind. They're meant for God and the mind of Christ. Now, let's keep going now. So in Genesis chapter 1, let's just see how he does the impossible. In the beginning, God created the what? Heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be what? Light. And what? There was light. Now look at the verse before that. And the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters. Now understand, the earth was water. So the Spirit of God moved upon this water. You with me? What happened while he was moving? Nothing. Nothing. When did something happen? When God spoke. That's when something happened. Now, did God believe what he spoke? Yes. Go to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by who? Him who? God who?
The Word.
That there was nothing first but the Word. And everything was made by the Word. But when you saw the Spirit moving over the face of the water, he was just moving. But he was waiting on something. The Word. Why? Because his job is to manifest. Got it? So what did the angel tell Mary? Mary, she said, how is this going to happen to me? He said, the Holy Ghost is going to come on you. Well, what's the Holy Ghost's job? To manifest. She had the Word. That woman read that over there, that a virgin shall conceive. I know she did. She was a Word woman. You can see it on down there in that same scripture, chapter. But my point to you is that look at John chapter 1 and verse 14. He said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, what was saying there? The Word took flesh. See? The Word, the Bible says in Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, the seed is the Word of God. The Word of God is the seed. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, being born again of not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the what? Word of God. Word of God is incorruptible seed. Now, what is it going to do? It's going to be planted. And once a seed is planted, like planted in Mary's womb, once that happened, a baby starts growing. She would say, how's this going to happen to me? I don't know a man. He said, no. The Holy Ghost is going to come on you. Now, I want you to stay with me. God doesn't have to find a solution. He creates one. See, he doesn't have to go anywhere to find anything. He just creates anything he wants. Now, I'm telling you this because this is precisely the way you're going to do greater works. Are you with me? So here is the seed, and the seed comes into Mary, and next thing you know, here's the seed. Now, what's happening? The seed takes what it needs. And what I said, and I said, if the seed needs calcium, it'll take calcium off the teeth. And this lady corrected me. She said, after the service, she corrected me very kindly. She said, Pastor, it takes it from the bone. I said, got it. Okay, got it. Well, I'm in the neighborhood somewhere. So if there's calcium on your bone and that baby growing inside of a woman needs that calcium, that baby won't ask for it. That baby takes it. Now, this is very important because God's going to plant you in a certain community as a seed. You must see this. This is the greater works we're talking about here. So here is God. Now he is going to take you and plant you as a seed. So Jesus talked about that. He talked about it by parable because they wanted just the people of God to understand it. Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 13. Another parable put he forth to them saying that the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and he sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge under the branches thereof. In other words, becomes the greatest influence. Now let's see what this means. So you become the seed. And God deliberately plants the righteous among the wicked. Why? Because he's going to convert them. He's not only going to convert them, he's going to change the whole culture. So now, as he sows his people in those places, we've got to stay connected with our source, because we're going to have to develop what it takes to grow in that environment. We're going to have to develop something. We're going to have to develop ourselves in the anointing that he speaks about in Isaiah 11 and 2. And he talks about, and it's the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. That's for miracles. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is going to give you a love for what God loves and a hatred for what God hates. Now, what I said is that if you believe what God says, then it will provoke the virtue for its performance. And that whatever God does for you, he can do the same day. And that's a 24-hour anointing. The same one he used to create the world.
Well, praise God. I trust that you enjoyed that teaching. Now, this is offering day on the broadcast. This is the time that we actually have a chance to sow into the ministry for so many lives that we're touching. And I mean, we're seeing miracles and so forth. We're going into the nations. When we first got here, we came in at $200. Nobody knew us. Nobody really was concerned about us. But look what God has done. He's done it because we've been diligent in what he's given us and obedient. And we've also been profitable. We have been increasing more and more. And God is a God of increase. Now, let me give you a word for your sowing today. Whatever God calls you to do, whatever he has for you, he gives you seed to do it. In other words, you know, when he told me, he said, buy that shopping mall. I said, whoa, whoa, what do you mean, Lord? He said, I have no seed. He said, go to Joshua 1:3. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. I took that particular scripture. I began to meditate that scripture. Everything was in that scripture. Everything was in that seed. The strategy, the resources, the patience, the miracle, everything was in that seed. And as it came forth, it gave me instructions as to what to do, where to go, so forth and so on. And look, fully occupied a mall, 33 acres. Look what God has done. Now, I'm saying that the same thing with Abraham. Abraham, look at the stars. This is how many kids you're going to have. Here's what Abraham said. I have no seed. You see, the Bible says, seed, Luke chapter 8, verse 11, the seed is the word of God. And so what I'm saying in your life, that what God called you to do, or a promise that you need, like a house or something, we got our house. You know what we did? We went to a believers meeting in England. We're going to take a vacation. We saved money to go to England, and they had a believers meeting over there. And we sat in that believers, right in the middle of that meeting, God said, I want you to sow a seed for the house that your wife wants. So that seed came back to Chicago. People, lady came and said, hey, I think I have something for you all. Somebody was building a house. They had a death in the family. It was halfway constructed, but I think it's just what you want. They want to give up their, you know, whatever they were doing, wanted to transfer it over to somebody who would like to get the house, so forth and so on. Transfer that house over. Cash money came in. Pay for the house cash. Help me, somebody. I'm just letting you know right now, whatever God called you to do, whatever he plans for you to do, he'll give you a seed to do it every time. And the seed starts with the word of God. That word will direct you as to exactly what to do. So if you've got seed in your hand right now, we're going to give based on the fact that Paul taught the Corinthian church, as you sow bountifully, you will also reap bountifully. So get your good seed. Get your good seed in your hand. Get ready to sow it, because you've got a need, and whatever that need is, or if you do have a need, sow a seed for that. Give that seed some instructions. Here's what I want you to do. And that seed is something that that enemy fought all the way from the Garden of Eden. He was after the seed. He tried, when Jesus got birthed into this world, I mean, he sent Herod to try to kill him and whatnot. Why? Because that seed gives notice that you have a future. That seed will take you somewhere. And so what happened? If you just get that seed ready, like we did in England or wherever, get ready to sow. And sow for a purpose. Assign that seed. Give it an assignment. Tell it what you want to do, what you want to have. And that seed will go and grow. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, thanking you, Lord, that whatever you call us to do, whatever you promise for us, there's a seed to do it. Father, thank you for the word that is a spiritual seed, and thank you for this money, which is a natural seed. So as we sow into this ministry, Father, you said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Now, as this seed is sown, Father, I pray that you measure it back to them 100-fold or whatever the need is that they have assigned that seed. Father, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, I agree with you. It is done. Amen. Thank you so much for your support, both prayers and your financial support. Thank you for loving us. We love you. And by all means, keep walking by faith.
Prosperity, happiness, fulfillment, and purpose are all yours for the claiming today. As children of the Almighty, we are guaranteed promises of blessings and dominion. Now, you just need to claim your authority to unlock the power and the promises of the Comforter. There is a plan God has for your life, and He has provided the Holy Spirit as the Comforter to provide you with all the power and help you need to rise above the evil the enemy tries to use to stop you. Dr. Bill Winston has created a special series titled The Comforter Has Come to teach you how to access the power the Lord has placed in you. Call us now at 800-711-9327 or go online to billwinston.org to order this empowering message series today. The Comforter Has Come is the teaching you've been waiting for. Dr. Bill Winston explains how to unleash the power of the anointing to attain extraordinary results in your life. Learn that your problems can be turned around in a day. Learn to pull what you need from the invisible realm and manifest it in your life. Be the influencer God has called you to be. And if you really want to unleash the full supernatural power of the anointing, then Bill Winston has created the Spiritual Wisdom Bundle just for you. You'll not only get The Comforter Has Come series, but you will also receive Dr. Winston's phenomenal book, Tapping the Wisdom of God. This book uses Bible examples along with contemporary testimonies to share how you can apply God's supernatural wisdom to every area of your life to get results every time. Allow the Holy Spirit to manifest in your life today. Call now to choose these teachings in either DVD, MP4, CD, or MP3 formats, and allow the anointing of God to unlock every door set before you. Act today and let the Lord fight your battles and win. Operators are standing by.
The mission of Bill Winston Ministries is to preach the gospel of the kingdom throughout the world. This broadcast has been made available to you through the faithful support of Bill Winston Ministry partners and friends. We invite you to become a partner and join Dr. Bill Winston as he trains believers how to live independent of this world system and have dominion over it. Thank you, Bill Winston Ministry partners and viewers, for your continuous support of the Believer's Walk of Faith broadcast.